if you just rely on foot traffic, a lot of times it can be one and done, but that email marketing newsletter will allow people to visit your store without actually physically being there, if that makes sense.
Welcome to Small Business BS, the podcast designed to ignite your entrepreneurial spirit through thought-provoking ideas and actionable business strategies. Each week, entrepreneurs Adam Whitmer and Jeff Gargis dive into creative marketing hacks, proven sales methods, and clever growth strategies. Get ready to unlock the full potential of your business with insights that are both fun and impactful. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Gargis and Adam Whitmer.
Welcome to episode 40 of the Small Business BS Podcast. I'm Adam Whitmer, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Gargis. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about the different types of email, electronic newsletters that you can use for your business to help drum up business, keep your customers focused, and blah, 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 blah. So that's really the topic of today is email newsletters. So Jeff, can you start us off by just explaining what a newsletter is? I understand most people understand what a newsletter is, but at its core, what is the goal of a newsletter? And then we can start to talk about different types, because some of us have probably only been exposed to maybe one type of newsletter. But let's start with that core definition of what's the purpose of a newsletter and what is the goal that it's really going to fulfill?
Well, blah, 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 blah. I really enjoyed that. That's how you went into that. I think you touched on a good point, the fact that like most of us obviously have experienced newsletters of a variety, or at least maybe only one specific style or type, or what we think of when we think of newsletter. And I think whether you call it a newsletter or audience update or whatever the heck, we're talking about the ongoing communication and touch points with your audience. When you say purpose of a newsletter, for me, that's a hard answer, because I think that depends, right? So that depends on a lot of things, on why, like what, you know, how you are building your list, what your actual goals are as a company, what your business model is, what your purpose of having email lists at all is, right? So that all falls into that. In general, though, when we're talking about like a newsletter, we're talking about the consistent touch points, is a consistent communication. And when I say consistent, I say that specifically because it doesn't necessarily have to be daily, weekly, whatever. It could be bi-weekly, it could be monthly, it could be 3.5 times a month. I'm not sure how you do that, but what I'm saying is it's the consistent touch. And I'm talking, we're talking, when we talk about newsletters and use that terminology, we're talking not about the funnels, right? So if you're thinking, I don't want to go too deep into anywhere, but if we've talked about how, you know, lead magnets and funnels and stuff like that, those are very specific sequences of emails that are automated and set to send for a specific reason, typically to take them from whatever that entry point of a funnel is down to whatever the pitch that we're giving them. When we talk about the newsletters, we're talking a little more of the nurturing, ongoing communication. And not always, but a sort of easier way to think about it is like after someone gets through that funnel, and whether they purchased or not, they're not done. And I think often a lot of people just let them, that's it. They went through their 5, 6, 7, 10 email sequence to try and sell them my course or my services or whatever, and they didn't buy, so they just sit on a list. And every now and then I'll shoot them something. That's the newsletter is the thing that consistently keeps your name and your face and your brand in their world. Because the reality is people who come into our funnels are in so many different stages, they're not all ready to buy. They either don't know, or trust us yet. They don't have the money they can do it. They don't have the pain point yet. There's so many reasons why they might not be ready to buy. And a lot of times timing is a key factor of that. So having a consistent touch point where you're consistently speaking to them, consistently providing value, whatever that value might be based on your audience, gives you the opportunity to now appear in their world when they are ready to buy and they are ready to take action. So does that make sense when I say it that way?
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, I was probably thinking of a little more simple purpose, like to connect with your audience, to connect with your customers.
I think that's probably a much simpler way of saying that.
Yeah. So, you know, and we, you know, because the challenge is you know, how you do that, you know, you're going to connect, but then the purpose of why are you connecting?
Yes.
You know, it could be like to build and nurture relationships, or it could be to just educate, or it could be to drive engagement or drive sales, or to strengthen community and loyalty, or support customer success, or establish authority and thought leadership in an industry. So there's a lot of reasons why, but I think the core just comes down to being able to connect with your audience and your customers. Like you said, to be able to be in front of them and keep your business name in front of them and have that open line of communication. So I think that's the bottom line goal of any newsletter, is to be able to have some sort of connection and ongoing communication with your customers. So from there, then the next question, I guess, would be, you know, what type of newsletter should I have if I don't have one? Or what, you know, really what, that's what we're getting into, is what are the different types of newsletters? And so,
yep.
Jeff, do you have an example of a newsletter that you personally love? Hopefully it's not one that you wrote and are self-promoting, but do you have a great example of a newsletter you love, or that we might be familiar with it, that you want to explain and to get us kicked off into the different types of newsletters?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot that I'm subscribed to, and they're all different, right? Now, I subscribe to a lot of, you know, industry type folks in the world of marketing, sales, online business, stuff like that. I'm trying to think, like, I'll just give a shout out to Chanel at Growth in Reverse, which is a great email that's weekly, and they reverse engineer great newsletters and how they make money and stuff. So like, the purpose of that email is twofold. One, it's to continuously provide value and build Chanel, who started that, up as authority, who understands how newsletters work and how people use them and how you can make money by, you know, via your newsletter. But also it's she's always in my inbox. She's always providing value. And then she'll, you know, when she pitches a product or an offer that she has, it's like an easy sell for a lot of people because they're getting so much value all the time, right? So hers is a weekly touch point that is all about staying relevant in my world, providing me value all the time, and continuously building her as an authority figure who's an expert in what I was interested in, which was the newsletters. That is one that I really like. Now, a complete, like, sort of reversal of that, and this is a type of newsletter that I think doesn't always feel like a quote unquote newsletter, depending on what world you're in, is for like Meijer brand stores, like the grocery store that I shop at. I get a weekly newsletter from them. It's very different. It's not the same. It's all about what's happening, what's on sale, what can I get. It's tailored to me. They're right. It's a different thing. The purpose for them is to get me to come back into their store and purchase something. Value to me is I'm hopefully going to save money because they're going to be coupons and stuff. So two very, very different newsletters, both in design and probably, I'm assuming, tech setup and the time they spend on them, all that stuff, and two very different purposes, but they speak to why I engage with both of them. And they're constantly set up because if we break it down to that very early on, like simplified purpose of a open communication with me, with your subscriber or with your audience, and staying in front of them, both of those fall into that category still, just for two different reasons.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's you know, it's interesting. I'm not subscribed to Meijer, and so you know, I'm thinking about the newsletters I receive are more informational. You know, my Meijer newsletter would likely be telling me like the weekly ad that you get in the newspaper of what's on sale. But packaging it in a newsletter, that's a really interesting approach. You know, for me, one of the newsletters I receive is my twin girls are in high school, and their high school sends out a monthly newsletter to keep the parents informed of what's going on. Also, it gives us tasks of, you know, future events. They often have pictures of the past, but they also have planning for the future, what we need to do, permission slips we need to fill out, or whatever the case is. So it's a really a true form of communication to keep us apprised of what we have to do and what's been happening to justify their, you know, their time with our children. So yeah, that's
a little more like traditional newsletter, which is really meant primarily to update, right? And to update you around news, around something that you care about. And so I was thinking about, like, that's like So if you think about someone who subscribes to, if you have a newsletter that's just all about your blog, your writing, or your videos, or your podcast, and the primary focus of that newsletter may be simply to let people know that there's new episodes out, that there's new blog posts out, that there's new whatever, a new video out, a new series out. And I subscribe to that because my goal is I want to know when Adam puts out a new video so that I can go watch it. Adam wants to stay in constant contact with me so that one, I go watch his new videos. Two, I'm thinking about him at least every week or whatever it is so that I go watch videos and click and then eventually trust him enough to purchase. But it's formatted very, very just, hey, here's a news update. It's literally like a news update, which falls into the newsletter side. Whereas others are a little more nurture based, right? So if I talk about Chanel's, it's not like an update news. It's a, here's information to continue to educate you and to provide you value. If you think about like, I'm trying to think of someone's like Micro Trends and there's something about Founders and stuff. Those are very news driven, right? So that's basically a newspaper that comes into my, or a magazine that comes into my inbox. And so that's why I said like, it's really hard to know about the purpose, but I like how you simplify the purpose of it. It's a purpose of just communicating with your customer. What it looks like and how it should be structured depends on what your audience cares about being communicated with from you. What do they actually want you to tell them? Because for example, I don't want Meyer to educate me or give me like stories. I want deals. That's why I'm on that list. I don't want Chanel to sell me a product every day and tell me what's on sale. I want her to give me the value I want. And so I think that's where the deeper purpose is. It's, I guess I was going a little further into the logistics side of like, yeah, the purpose is to communicate. The secondary purpose is like, what the heck am I communicating? And that leads into how it should be designed, how it should be written, et cetera, et cetera.
That's great. You say how to be designed, how to be written. So, you know, I think of somebody who doesn't have a newsletter and they're probably wondering, do I need to have one? How would you know as a business owner if you need to have or should have or could it benefit from the newsletter? You know, what do you think? What thought process would you go through?
Well, I'm a firm believer in email marketing, emails, and that being a form of a great, strong form of communication. And one of my reasons for that is that if you think about how many people you know that still have like an AOL email, they keep those things, right? It's like the original phone numbers, like they have that. So you're less likely to lose them versus social media, things like that change all the time. I think whether or not your business should consider having one, I think it depends on your business model. And primarily, I think I would look at your known or considered marketing and lead generation tactics. So we've had on one episode, I don't remember what it was, we talked about like signage and place and a location, right? So if you primarily generate your business through foot traffic or local signage or stuff like that, do I think you should have a newsletter? Yeah, probably still, most likely. But do you need it the same as the person who is selling an online course? No, probably not, right? However, I think for me, the almost gut reaction answer I had for you was, well, do you think your audience has emails, like email addresses? And if the answer is yes, then you should probably do one. That's a little broad, right? A little cheeky, whatever. Because I think regardless, there's an opportunity for you to utilize a newsletter of some sort to generate more business and or retain more business. Because you mentioned in one of the types was, I can't remember how you said, but like customer satisfaction or customer success, right? Guaranteeing that. And so I do think in most instances, I could probably make a case for why you should at the very least consider a newsletter. But I really think based on how you tend to generate leads is what would actually dictate whether you, for lack of a better way of saying it, need versus should consider.
Right. Right. So that's a great, great point. I think I disagree with you a little bit. One of the things you said was if you have a lot of foot traffic, you probably don't need a newsletter. Now, interesting story is I went to Savannah. I've been actually to Savannah 3 times in the last 6-7 years. But I went to Savannah for the first time probably 6-7 years ago. And when I went there, my dad told me, he said, hey, when you go to Savannah, make sure that you find this peanut shop. It's right on the river. It's on the main strip of all the shops on the river. And it's a peanut shop. And when you're there, pick me up this certain kind of peanut. So they have this peanut store, you know, on these shops in Savannah, on the river. There's literally all these shops. There's, you know, there's candy shops and then there's clothing shops and there's oil shops and there's, just, you know, everything you can imagine, including shops that sell peanuts. And so I went there and I did. They had these samples, and these samples of all these different flavors of peanuts, from honey mustard to spicy to probably garlic or chocolate. I mean, just crazy different flavors. And, you know, they were great. I loved it. And so I got my dad a couple of bottles of jars of peanuts and took them back. And I was kind of surprised, because when I took him back, he goes, "Oh, perfect. I was just running out of my supply." And I said, "Your supply?" I said, "Hasn't it been like 10 years since you've been to Savannah?" He goes, "Oh yeah, it has, but they stay in touch with me through email marketing, and I regularly order refills from them online." I had no idea when I was at this store that they have this huge online business. So while they find customers initially through foot traffic, their customers are travelers. And so it's a one and done. And so they're able to connect with their customers and somehow, you know, keep them apprised. Now, for me, I'm trying to think what newsletters have I subscribed to. I ended up going to Glacier National Park a couple of times 10 plus years ago for work. And the first time I went, I wanted to find some good trails. And I found this guy, and I don't even know where he's at or, you know, what his name was, but he sold these maps of some super easy day hikes. And he rated them, and it made it easy. I ended up buying a map from this guy. He shipped it to me before I went, and I had this waterproof map, and it showed me these places to go. And it was awesome, because I was able to see some of the best parts of Glacier National Park very quickly. I didn't have to explore it. I just knew where I was going to go. And I saw elk, and I saw, you know, goats and bull rams and all, you know, all the wildlife, a bear. Like, I saw everything that I wanted to see because he told me where to go. And so after I'd gone to the Glacier and came back, I was still on his newsletter. And his newsletter would tell stories of his hikes and the animals he saw. And it made me excited to want to go back. And so when I was traveling in the area again, like 4 years later, I ended up going back again. And so he wasn't really selling Glacier National Park. He was selling his maps, but I referred a lot of people to his maps and his blog. And so there is that opportunity, I think, for a newsletter to keep people excited, to tell stories. And that's where that connection and that nurturing of your audience comes into, where if you just rely on foot traffic, a lot of times it can be one and done, but that email marketing newsletter will allow people to visit your store without actually physically being there, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, those are two like really great examples of the you might not need, in the sense of from you're a tourist destination, so you're going to get a never-ending flow of tourist customers, but that doesn't mean you should not be doing it, right? Because to your point, that peanut shop, I'm betting their revenue has increased quite a bit from launching the online piece and then staying in contact like that. Because you, to your point, you take someone like your dad who hasn't visited for a decade and may never go back, but is still a customer. And that's how you take a, and I think that's coming into like the power of just email marketing in general. And we've kind of talked about this in some of the other episodes around email marketing, is that that's how you take a primarily brick and mortar business like that, who does get their primary traffic from either foot traffic or local marketing, like very like not online, right? And sells to local, and level it up and open it up to a whole lot more, right? And so I love that. I love the national park thing too, because like the recommendation that you're getting, and he's utilizing like the stories of the park to get you to want to come back to the park. So of course, if you're being inspired by him to come back and visit, why on earth are you not going to use his maps, right? Like, he's the guy who is telling you all about it, right? I'm trying to think, I'm not going to remember, but my brother and sister-in-law, there's a place in Florida where there's a beach, and there's a guy who's he's not really a lifeguard, but he kind of like, he's a, essentially has become a spokesperson for this little beach town by acting like a lifeguard, but just doing like little updates, and it's online, and he does these shorts, and he's hilarious, and he's funny, and like people come to go see him, and then he works for the city, right? So like his business, which is the city, now it's not his own, he doesn't own it, but he works for it. Like, their whole thing is like, well, people can't always be here, they're probably only going to come once a year for vacation, maybe once every couple, But we want to make sure that the next time they think about vacation, they have no reason to look anywhere else because they're going to come to our beach because they're having fun. And he's telling stories and he's talking about the things going on. And they want to come and get a picture with him. They want to come hang out and do this thing that he talks about and the flag ceremony and all this stuff. Like, that's something where, again, it's like, oh, we're a tourist business. So like people are going to think about us. We're going to mark, you know, run ads on tourist websites or Travelocity or whatever it might be. But the reality is, no, you can hook people with the email, the newsletter, and be like, hey, remember how beautiful it is here? Remember how much fun it is here? Let's talk about more stories of families coming down here and how they're coming closer together with a honeymoon couple or whatever. Like, I'm now so much more likely to come back or to visit for the first time because you've had that open communication with me. Where you're, and again, and that's a great example of, I'm not necessarily selling you anything. I'm not trying to get you to buy an online course, whatever. I'm just telling you to come see us. And I think that's super powerful. It becomes the, and that's why I said, like, yeah, I can make an argument probably for any and every kind of business that you should have some form of a newsletter.
Yeah.
And also some form of email marketing just in general.
And if you're a mom and pop shop and you're selling, you know, products, you know, one of the simplest things you could do is to just have a newsletter talking about what's new or what's hot this week or going into the seasons. And, you know, Jeff, in our small town that I live in, or that I just moved out of, technically tiny bit outside of town limits now, but, you know, the town that I've lived in for the last 10 years, a hobby store opened up and they have this huge storefront. And I hadn't been in there. The first time I walked in, I was blown away at how much real estate they are renting. It's unbelievable. They have everything from trains. You know, there's hobby people who love trains as a hobby. My uncle does that, and, you know, people spend thousands of dollars on trains, model trains. And then they had remote control cars and, of course, drones. But they also had 3D printing. They also had Dungeons and Dragons. They also had Magic the Gathering. They also had board games, and they also had any other type of gaming type craft that you can imagine. It just, the store went on and on and on, and I was really just blown away. And I'm looking on a Saturday when you would think that's the busiest day of the hobby store's business because they're open like 8 to 5 Monday through Saturday, closed Sundays, and most people can't really go during work hours. It wasn't that busy. And so I'm sitting there thinking, man, they've got a ton, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of inventory. The shelves are stocked. And I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world are they even paying their bills, let alone making a profit? And so I start talking to the owner and he's like, yeah, this is kind of my retirement. I'm like, well, you just kind of blew it there, buddy. But that's my first thought. Well, he starts talking and he has figured out the online game. He said, yeah, most of our business comes from online sales. And to me, that hit a chord because I've been saying for years, most storefront businesses should have an online store. And to drive traffic to your online store, you've got to either have SEO, ads, or an email list. And an email list is one of the easiest ways to get your existing customers to return. And so for a hobby store, if he had a newsletter, which I'm sure he does, I haven't looked into it and I probably should have before we recorded this, but his newsletter could be as simple as, you know, what's dropped. If you think about a card game like Magic the Gathering, there's always a new, I don't know what they call it. I don't play it. My son briefly played it, but there's a new season that comes in with new cards and new decks. And so that's always been released. There's a lot of excitement around that because I've read some of these newsletters that I've seen. It's really Facebook posts that I know are coming from a newsletter from another gaming store that I follow that my son used to go to. But, you know, there's always these updates. And same for, you know, if you're into drones or into RC cars and trains, there's always something new. And so the newsletter could just be telling the story about the most popular items, and people who are interested or have an interest will see that and they'll take interest, and it's going to help drive sales and drive loyalty to your brand. So that's a great conversation, Jeff.
Yeah. And I think that's such a cool opportunity for that store too. Like, you come in, you can have this experience of seeing this big store with all these things, but you can buy it at any time from anywhere. You don't have to come in, right? But then you can also find it online and buy it online a bunch and then finally get the opportunity to come in, right? And though I'm telling you right now, those people who are like, I've been buying from you online and I love it, but I always see the pictures and I'm finally in town, so I'm coming, I'm buying some stuff. Like, cause I'm bought in, right? I'm loyal. I love this place. And that's again, to your point, and I love that you kind of told the story the way it is. Cause when you look at that from, on paper or whatever, like that's, you're like, how possible? Cause that's a massive storefront for things that aren't super expensive. And there's so much inventory. There's the private, God knows what they're paying in rental, like, and for the actual building and stuff too, that they probably couldn't sustain without the multiple channels and doing the online selling.
Right.
So I love that. Yeah, they definitely, you probably should have looked at whether they had a newsletter or not, but I'm willing to bet they do. If they're online. So I think that's such a cool thing. I think, you know, again, I think I can probably make a case with anyone about their business that they should be doing a newsletter of some sort and email marketing in general. I don't know if there's any story that I wouldn't. So I think it's something, the key piece, I think if we can go back to the beginning and then wrap up, is the key purpose is that constant connection and communication with your audience. And that audience consists of leads and or customers currently, past, present, whatever. It should be probably all of them. But then the purpose inside that goes into, well, depends on your business model. What are you trying to do? And that's where you get into like, what style should I have? And what should I actually be sending? Well, it depends on what you're trying to actually do. But the primary purpose is just, it's the constant connection and communication to them. And I think that's huge. And I love the couple of examples that we gave here. So I think maybe we need to dig into maybe a little more into the logistics of, okay, how do I actually figure out? I'm with you, Jeff and Adam. I agree that I should probably be considering a newsletter of some sort, but this is my business and I don't even know what the heck I should be doing. Maybe we have an episode where we can do a couple of like specific examples of like, okay, if you're this type of business or whatever, here's how Adam and I would get to what our newsletter needs to look like from a, yeah. What are we actually saying? What's the format? How often we send in, et cetera, et cetera. And if we can maybe find like two or three businesses that are very different, that'd be a fun episode to do. So maybe we'll do that.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. And I did look up the hobby store and they do in fact have sign up for our email list. So
of course they do. There you go. Of course, you know what he's doing. I love it. I love
of course they do.
His retirement.
They have most of their online sales. Most of their sales come from online. They're doing something right. So
yes, they are. I love it. All right, let's wrap it, dude.
All right. Well, that's all we have for this episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. For more information on this episode and other episodes, go to smallbusinessbs.com. Till next time, have fun, be strategic, and get out there and grow your business. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow entrepreneurs. Until next time, keep thinking big and taking action in your business, one step at a time.